Jesse Corcoran Podcast.
I grew up in America before the lawyers took it over and ruined it on us. That's right. In my day, if a kid fell off the monkey bars and chipped a bone in his arm, tragic as that was, it was funny to the rest of us. What happened to the playgrounds, man? I took my granddaughter to the playground, and the slide is about 4 feet high, made out of plastic. She goes 3 inches at a time and then stops, because it's not a slide, it's a scoot. Wee papa, wee papa, wee papa, wee papa, wee. We had a 6-story high solid steel structure that about mid-July would hit a temperature of 285 degrees. You'd lose a layer or two of skin on the way down and hit the ground like a flat rock on a pond and skip, lose another 2 layers, get up and go, boah! Now it's wee papa, wee papa. I wanted to shove my granddaughter down, but I felt 6 iPhones on my back. Go ahead, old man, let it rip. She's on YouTube tomorrow. We all did stupid things. That's how you learn not to do stupid things. Payne, C.S. Lewis said suffering was God's megaphone. 12 years old, someone comes to me and says, get a canning jar, ball jar. I said, what do I want to do with it? He says, I want you to get some dry ice, put it in that jar, and put the lid on it. So I said, what's going to happen? He said, that jar is going to blow up. I said, cool, what's dry ice? They said, the ice cream man has it. So one day, I hear the ice cream man coming down my street. I run out with one of my mother's canning jars, and I ask the ice cream man straight up, you got any dry ice? He goes, what you going to do with it? I'm going to put it in this jar. I'm going to put the lid on it, and it's going to explode. Ice cream man says, cool, here's your dry ice. That's the America I grew up in. And that night, my mother sat at the kitchen table picking shards of glass out of my forehead. And my father came walking in. How'd that happen? Someone told me you put dry ice in a ball jar to blow up. So knowing that, you were just staring at that jar waiting for it to blow up in your face? Yep. The hell am I raising, a moron in this house? It sure looks that way. I never did it again because that'd have been really stupid. We're the most pain-averse society in the history of mankind. I'm telling you, my nephew's coming by. This poor kid's 11 years old. I look at him. I asked my sister, my gosh, where's he going? She said rollerblading. I thought he was going to disarm a nuclear device. Poor kid looked like the Michelin man, nothing but foam rubber and plastic. She said, I don't want him to get hurt. I said, hurt? He could take a semi at 60 miles an hour in that outfit. Falling down on concrete is supposed to hurt. That's your incentive to learn to stay upright on the rollerblades. They took lawn darts away from us. Lawn darts, you know why? Because people were getting stuck with the lawn dart. We were aiming at each other. You mean to tell me in this litigious culture, nobody in that R&D department saw that one coming down the pike? Hey, I'm just spitballing here, but won't they throw these darts at each other? Oh, no, we're going to put a plastic ring in the box. That'll be their target. Why would anyone throw at a plastic ring when their brother's standing 20 feet away?
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Wednesday, February 9th, 2022, 274 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. Good morning or good evening or whenever it is you're listening to the podcast here at jcontheline.com. Well, I've had it with the Oscars. That might be the single stupidest omission I've seen. Maybe not ever, but certainly one of the stupidest omissions. I remember back in the 80s, the movie Driving Miss Daisy. The actors, both actors, got Best Actor nominations. Even Dan Aykroyd got a Best Supporting Actor nomination. He got a nomination for Best Picture, but Bruce Beresford, the director, did not get a nomination. So apparently, the movie directed itself. But this omission of Lady Gaga in House of Gucci is ridiculous. That's one of the best performances I saw all year. And for a long time, you guys remember, you know, we would carry the Oscar nominations live on the radio show, and then we would come back and do analysis, and then we'd have a movie critic on, or Leonard Maltin or somebody would show up. Occasionally, we'd get somebody like Gene Siskel or Roger Ebert to be on the show, and we would talk about this stuff, and it was sort of an important thing. And you know, a couple of things have happened since then. You know, the Oscar telecast itself, the God, the ratings just keep going down and down and down. And I've talked about this for years. You know, part of the problem was, you know, back in the, I don't know, the 60s and even the 70s, that was really the only place you could see all of these people, all these big movie stars. And everyone was wearing tuxedos, and it was a very classy event. And, you know, millions and millions and millions of people would watch the show because that was the only place you could see all of these people on one stage together on one night. And of course, the telecast kept getting longer and longer and longer. And, you know, they still do that now. They do a couple of major categories at the beginning of the show. And then for about 2.5 hours, it's best sound and lighting and stuff like that. And a bunch of long, drawn-out, stupid speeches, people thanking people. You know, not, I mean, it's one thing to thank somebody, but it's another thing to be reading off a list of people's names that nobody outside of the close circle of people who make movies in Hollywood would ever recognize. In the meantime, you know, some guy sitting watching the TV in Kansas going, you people are supposed to understand show business. You're supposed to be able to put something on my screen that compels me to watch it. That's sort of what Hollywood is all about. And yet, on the biggest night of the year for the motion picture industry, you guys seem to have forgotten everything you know about how to compel audiences to watch what it is you're putting on the screen. And, you know, it's sort of like all these awards shows and the institutions that run them. It's a very, very tight circle of people. And so that's it. I mean, after this thing yesterday, I'm like, wait a minute, where the hell is Lady Gaga? I have nothing against the movies that got nominated, Power of the Dog, not into the whole Dune thing, so I don't really care about that. A lot of people thought Jennifer Hudson might get a nomination for Respect. The problem was that the movie was just terrible. It was awful. Everybody just assumed that Being the Ricardos would get a Best Picture nod, especially since Nicole Kidman and Javier Bardem were both nominated for playing Ricky and Lucy. So, I don't know. I think I'm just going to go back to making fun of the Oscars the way we used to.
The nominees for Best Performance by an Actor in a Leading Role are Tom Hanks in Castaway, Tom Hanks in Gladiator, Tom Hanks in Before Night Falls, Tom Hanks in Pollock, and Tom Hanks in Quills.
That's how it seemed for a long time, right? And the director at the time, and he had directed, oh my God, like 20 years or something, a guy by the name of Gil Cates. Gil Cates, he was actually Phoebe Cates' uncle. And he was the director of the Oscars for years and years and years. And we had him on the air one year, sort of as a preview of the Oscar show. And I played that at the beginning, and that son of a, he laughed so hard. He thought that was the funniest thing he had ever heard. He was the director of the show. But anyhow, going back to what I was saying, you know, in the old days, that was the only place you could see all of these movie stars all together, you know, in one show. Of course, now it's like you've got Mary Hart and Bob Gowen in your ear all the time. No matter where you go, there's entertainment, there's stars, there's television channels, there's radio shows, the whole thing. And it's like, now it's like people are like, okay, we've seen you. We've seen you all year. So there's really nothing special about Oscar night, because how many times would you say you've seen Nicole Kidman on TV in the last year? 50? So now it's Oscar night. And the way it was in the old days, it's like, oh, I can't wait to see Nicole Kidman. Now it's like, there she is again. So they had a good thing. They, you know, they ruined it. And once you lose your credibility, you're pretty much sunk. So have a nice time on Sunday, March 27th on ABC. They don't even know who the host is going to be yet. They were talking to Pete Davidson. Pete Davidson as host. Oh, wait. CBS ran this clip this morning from Jimmy Kimmel. You got to see this. It's really funny.
You're telling me Don't Look Up was better than Spider-Man? It most certainly was not. Even if you go by the critics' reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, Don't Look Up, the top critics got a 46. Spider-Man has a 90. For God's sake, Jackass Forever has an 89. You want to know what happened? The Academy voters, they looked at the list, they saw the names Leo DiCaprio and Meryl Streep, and they checked that box, and then they put their kids in the car, and they went to see the movie Spider-Man.
I tell you something, Kimmel has really amped up his game. I was having brunch with Eric Mink, formerly of the Post-Dispatch and the New York Daily News. And, you know, Eric, he was on the show with us for years and years and years. And we sort of got into a little bit of an argument because we were big Colbert fans and also fans of the content. You know, not just, okay, he's up there, he's funny, whatever the case may be. What's he talking about in his monologue? And I just assumed that, I don't know, the last time he and I had talked about it a couple of years ago, big Colbert fans. Well, he's totally into Kimmel. Now, we sort of got a little argument about it. And I was like, all right, I'll go back and I'll sort of rededicate myself to watching Jimmy Kimmel's monologue and see, you know, if he's right. Well, guess what? He's at least half right because Kimmel is really, really knocking it out of the park on his monologue. I still love Colbert. He's my number one go-to guy, but I'm giving Jimmy Kimmel a lot more credit than I probably ever did before. Kimmel was a late bloomer. You know, he did all those goofy shows on cable, and he just didn't appear to me to have a command of the stage and a command of the screen. And I got news for you. I don't think he still does. But the material they're cranking out, especially the pre-recorded pieces, you know, the production pieces where they say, hey, and blah, 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 we're going to play this thing and make fun of somebody. And those things have really, really been good lately. Like the Giuliani, Giuliani selling pardons last week. We played it here on the podcast. Maybe, I think it was last week sometime. So that stuff is all real good. All right, enough Oscar stuff. In other television disappointment news. The United States finally won its first gold medal at the Olympics. Early this morning, 36-year-old Lindsay something or other won it in snowboard cross. Meanwhile, the gal that they had been doing all of the feature pieces on going into the Olympics, this Michaela Schifrin, just lost out on her best chance at a medal when she missed the gate at the women's slalom. She crashed out into the giant slalom a few days ago. She's been a total bust. What's Pertzborn saying here?
All time. This is her fifth games in 16 years, and she is bringing home the gold. It's her first career gold and second overall medal at 36, and she proves.
Oh, they're talking about the snowboard. Lindsay.
Meanwhile, Team USA stars Chloe Kim and Shaun White were shredding it in the snowboard halfpipe qualifying round.
Yeah, Shaun White, this is going to be your last chance to see him doing this because he's retiring after all this. I haven't watched any of the Olympics. I don't know what it is. I just seem not to care. They're telling us there could be a shortage of chicken wings. Bad timing. Super Bowl coming up on Sunday evening, and that is, according to the polls, they take the number one thing that people feel they have to have at their Super Bowl parties. Interestingly, they're having a heat wave in Southern California, and it appears that this will be the hottest Super Bowl ever in football history, with the temperature at game time roughly 90 degrees. 90 degrees. And they got that roof over that place. And I don't know if ventilation is an issue there, too. It seems to me like it would be. And I don't know if there's anything you can do. It's a 70,000-seat stadium. You can't, like, say, well, let's put out some fans. It's just, you know, 70,000 people there, okay? So I don't know what they're going to do. 90 degrees is hot to be playing football. Tom Brady's dicking with us now. He's saying, well, you know, never say never. Like, well, Tom, what happens if 6 months from now you decide, oh, you know what, I shouldn't have retired. I really miss it. I'm still in great shape. I think I'd still like to play a little while. And Brady's like playing around with that. Gronkowski, by the way, Robert Gronkowski, says now that he would like to go to Cincinnati. Now, see, I just assumed that he would also retire when his buddy went down, and apparently that might not be the case. Oh, Pat Maroon, who scored one of the most memorable goals in St. Louis Blues history, just signed a two-year, $2 million contract with Tampa. They really, really like him in Florida. Here's how much I was avoiding the Olympics last night. I'm just channel surfing going, I just want to watch anything but the Olympics. It's all so phony and manufactured. So I end up right at the beginning of The Wolf of Wall Street, which I had seen before, but it was on one of the cable channels. And I'm like, well, this is fine. I close the door because I don't want my 12-year-old walking in on all that nudity and profanity and everything like that. Things that made the movie great. And then I locked the door and removed my clothes. No, I'm just kidding. So I'm watching it, and all of a sudden, the first really dirty scene shows up, and there's a giant black box over it. They didn't even try to make any sort of an effort to do some creative editing. It's just like a giant black box. And that wasn't even in the nudity. That was he was giving somebody the finger. And so they did that for the entire movie. All the good stuff taken out. It's like in the sanitized for cable versions of Die Hard, where instead of saying yippee-ki-yay-ki-yo, whatever the hell it was, motherfucker, he says yippee-yi. Why can't I get that right? But they say Mr. Falcon instead of motherfucker. Now, what the hell is Mr. Falcon? Spend some time in Europe. They do not do this to the movies on television. It's like if there's a nude scene, there's a nude scene. This silly, puritanical country we live in. A little bit embarrassing to think about it sometimes. Nelly apologized after he accidentally posted a video of himself receiving oral sex on social media. Now, there's a couple of things about this. First of all, he's got a new album coming out. Second, his popularity has declined a little bit in recent years, and he's thinking to himself, all these female stars, when they need to jumpstart their careers, what do? They put out a sex video, so I'm going to do that too. And for some reason, they're criticizing the hell out of him for doing this, although the most interesting part of the story for me seems to be that somebody still wants to give Nelly a blowjob. Joe Rogan says what's happening in him is, quote, a political hit job, end quote, which doesn't exactly sound like an apology. No, you just use the N-word like 20 times, but it's our fault. And I think this is hilarious. Now, this is funny. Hillary Clinton has released a line of But Her Emails merchandise. So you're going to be able to buy a t-shirt that says But Her Emails, which is pretty funny now to think of, that we know now that Trump was shredding stuff and taking big boxes of presidential documents down to Florida, to Mar-a-Lago, which is about as against the law as it can be, and in fact, could end up being the thing that keeps him from being able to run for president again, because there's very specific language in the United States Constitution that talks about exactly what he did. And they say if you do that, you can't run again. You cannot hold political office again. It couldn't be more clear. Just remember, they got Al Capone for income tax evasion. Think about that for a minute. Let's switch to the idea of love. Considering we have Valentine's Day coming up next week, Uber surveyed 2,000 people to find which is the best. Chances are you probably know a couple who had one of these songs for their wedding. What is the best wedding song? Number 10, Love Me Tender by Elvis. Frankie Valli, Can't Take My Eyes Off of You. Aerosmith, Don't Want to Miss a Thing. Foreigner, I Know What a Love Is. Angels by Robbie Williams. I've never heard that song. Your song, Elton John. My Heart Will Go On. Celine Dion, Can't Help Falling in Love. Elvis, oh, two Elvis songs on the list. Number 2, Unchained Melody, Righteous Brothers. Number 1, Whitney Houston, I Will Always Love You. My first marriage, we had Harry Connick Jr., It Had to Be You. My second marriage, we didn't have a song. Got married on the beach in Negril in Jamaica, like 7 people. But then we came back and had a reception for all of our friends and family and everything down at a restaurant in Soulard. Chef Jack Mack, what a job he did. I think, do I have this right now? Is he working the boathouse? I think he's the executive chef at the boathouse. I know that's these chefs, they move around quite a bit, but I think that's where he is. We walked outside at the end of the evening, and giant, as Dave Murray would say, hamster-sized snowflakes were falling in downtown St. Louis. Looked like something out of a movie. Speaking of love, you know how they do this thing where they got like a monkey in a zoo, but the monkey won't mate with any of the other monkeys. So they start searching around going, okay, let's find a really, really Seductive monkey. Let's find a really promiscuous monkey who will do it with anybody. Bring the monkey in and see what happens. Sometimes they do that and works. Sometimes they do that. It just doesn't work. We don't have a love connection. You're going to think I'm making this up. I'm not. There's a zoo in England that has hired a Marvin Gaye impersonator to perform inside the monkey enclosure to see if they can get the monkeys in the mood for mating season. Here's the quote from the park director. "We thought it would be a creative way to encourage our females to show a little affection to the males," end quote. If they ever put this story on television, just be careful if you're channel surfing, because it would be very easy to mistake this video that I just described for reruns of Jersey Shore. Good morning, everybody. Michael B. Jordan, 35 today. Travis Tritt. Now, there is a name I haven't heard in a long time and was the key cog, if you will, in the whole, well, I guess you would say, scandal involving when Jay Leno was doing the Tonight Show and they were accusing him and his manager, Helen Kushnick, of screwing with the other late night shows, telling performers, if you do any of the other shows, you will never be invited to be on the Tonight Show. So you do our show and you never appear on any of the other shows. And I guess it was Travis Tritt was the guy who just basically said, wait a minute. And that's really what put the brakes on the whole Leno scandal back in whatever year that was. He's 59 today. Judith Light from Who's the Boss and Transparent, 73. Mia Farrow, 77. Joe Pesci, 79. Interviewed him for Lethal Weapon 4 out in California. He's the sweetest, nicest, most gentle, polite person, just absolutely the diametric opposite of the characters that he plays in movies. He's 79 today. Carole King, 80. If you get a chance to see that stage production of Beautiful about Carole King's life and career, it was really, really good. I would have enjoyed it a hell of a lot more than I did had Beetle Bob not been sitting a couple of seats over from us, and he and his buddy were sitting there talking throughout the entire show. I was so close to just getting up out of my chair and just clocking this dumb motherfucker. You go to the show, you sit on, you shut the fuck up and watch the performers on stage. If you're not on stage, then shut the fuck up. And this Beetle Bob guy, who the Riverfront Times and St. Louis Magazine, people like that, keep anointing as some sort of local treasure, is nothing but a wasted sperm cell. What an asshole this guy is. I don't know when somebody's going to finally do something. People are, you know, our legislators, they just want to fight about immigration and partial birth abortion and that kind of crap. In the meantime, we're all sitting here going, hey, douchebags, daylight saving time. We don't want it anymore. Nobody wants it. They started this thing in 1942, allegedly to conserve fuel during World War II. It lasted about 3.5 years, and then it was another 2 decades after that before they brought it back. And to repeat, nobody wants it. But none of these legislators seem to think that there's anything in it for them to be able to get this thing taken off the books and have us get some daylight. 1971 on this date, Satchel Paige became the first player from the Negro League to be nominated for the Baseball Hall of Fame. Allegedly, it was Satchel Paige who coined the phrase, I'm so quick, I can turn off the light switch on the wall and be in bed before the room is dark. And it was 50 years ago today, 1972, Paul McCartney and his new band Wings made their official debut with a show at England's Nottingham University. The way Paul McCartney tells the story is that they would drive around in the van with a map of all the area colleges and just sort of show up and say, can we play? And I don't know if it was a coincidence or not, because obviously on this date, 1964, the Beatles appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show for the very first time. The way the story goes is one of the stagehands said to Paul McCartney backstage, are you nervous? And he said, no. And he said, well, you ought to be. There's 80 million people watching. I have a sister who's 5 years older than me. I was 10 years old at the time, and she sat my ass down in front of that television and said, now watch this. And sure changed a lot of lives. Sure changed a lot of lives. And changed the lives of a lot of musicians. When we had Ringo on, that's what he said. Because I said, you know, people run into the airport, something like that, and they want to have their moment with Ringo. What do people have a tendency to say to you? And he said, well, first thing they do is they tell me that they know somebody I've never heard of before. And then the musicians all want to tell him how their lives changed when they saw the Beatles for the first time on television. Then they were like, hey, professor, here, you can have this oboe back. I got myself a Les Paul. Have a nice day. On this date in 2002, we were doing a radio station trip from Mexico, and we were in, I think it was Playa del Carmen or something like that. And they said, okay, we have an excursion today. And I'm like, I don't know. I got mixed emotions about that. I'm going on vacation. I just want to lay on the beach. You know, you always have one of these assholes with about an 8 million watt sound system. And now the Harry Beck contest. And now the best legs contest. And now the cannonball contest. Like, shut up. I can't even hear the waves. I'm listening to the surf. And I can't even hear myself think out here. So I try to find a nice quiet spot. And the problem with the excursions are most of them are ripoffs. And the second thing is you're stuck. You know, you go on some excursion on a boat or somewhere like that and you don't like it. It's too bad. You're stuck there for the day. I don't like to get myself in any situation where I can't get out if I want to. But I don't know. Somebody compelled me. I think somebody said, oh, no. You're going to really, really like this. I'm like, all right, tell me again what's going to happen. It's like, okay, we're going to take you about an hour, a little over an hour. And what you're going to do is every single person, everybody on this excursion is going to get their own ATV. And we're going to go on this trail that goes through the jungle. That goes for about an hour. And then we're going to feed you lunch, and then you're going to get your own boat. And it's like these little things that look like little saucers. I mean, they're complete boats and everything, but they're round, and they're one-seaters. And you just crawl into this thing, and you hit the gas, and whoa, man, off you go. And you get to do that for an hour. And that was one of the most fun days I've ever had in my life. You know, I still remember it was in Tulum. It's spelled T-U-L-U-M. It's pronounced Tulum. And again, I think it was like $80 per person. I think they charged us half price because we were there with the radio station and everything. And we were putting them on the radio, giving them free publicity. So they said, save $80, everybody $40. So for $40, and we got food out of it too. They had homemade guacamole that they made right in front of us. And just a great day on those ATVs and then out on the water. And this was also the date of St. Louis hosting the 1988 National Hockey League All-Star Game at the Old Barn. And we suffered through the embarrassment of then-Governor John Ashcroft insisting on singing the national anthem prior to the game. Let the Eagles soar. He was one of the singing senators, if you'll recall. Trent Lott. I can't remember the other two. If I cared, I would have looked it up. And as we approach Valentine's Day, here's something to consider. A new dating study found that men are still a lot more likely to initiate a date by asking the woman out. But in those instances, when the roles are reversed, the guy is much more likely to get lucky. Researchers talked to 20,000 college students about recent dates they went on, who initiated the date, and if there was any sexual contact, including kissing. And it turns out most dates are likely to end in the bedroom if it is the woman who has asked the guy out. They looked at dates that at least involved kissing or heavy petting, and when a woman initiated the date, there was a 63% chance of it progressing to below the belt contact, and that's compared to a 56% chance if it's the guy who initiates the date. So not a huge difference, but statistically relevant. 89% of dates are still initiated by men, though. Hooters, once again running its popular Shred Your Ex promotion, where customers can get 10 free boneless wings on Valentine's Day if they destroy a photo of an ex. You do have to purchase 10 to get 10 free, though. Today is National Pizza Day. And for you single ladies out there who are thinking, where am I going to find that ideal guy? I think I got him for you here. A 46-year-old guy named Brian. 46-year-old guy arrested in Las Vegas last week for threatening to blow up a casino with a live grenade that was hidden in his ass. Turned out he didn't actually have any explosives on him, though, or in him, for that matter. While the police were talking to Brian, he kept rambling on about his ex-wife and about Joe Rogan. He is available, ladies. And with that, we say that's it. J.C. Corcoran podcast for Wednesday, February 9th, 2022, 274 days remaining on our American democratic system as we have known it. Please keep us in the top 10% of all podcasts in the country by continuing to spread the word. We really do appreciate it. You can email me, JC at JCOnTheLine.com, Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. We archive all the podcasts, and we're here right about 7 o'clock every weekday morning, Monday through Friday. Enjoy, please. And in the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.